This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. A landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
This is it. This is our moment.
This is it.
This is what we're here for.
Yes.
I'm gonna try to look. I want to see your beautiful face.
Oh, that's so kind. I wish I could see my beautiful face.
Yeah, just put a mirror in front of me.
I'm noticeably cheerful.
Robin sounds so happy on this episode. welcome back to Frisky History.
Thank you.
Be here. I'm Lacey.
I'm Robin.
And this is a podcast where we talk about the reproductive health history of our history.
That's absolutely right.
Just from anywhere during any point in time, mm-hmm. and sometimes not at all.
Correct.
So
yeah,
here we are again.
Here we are.
It's almost Halloween.
It's almost Halloween.
Can you believe it? This is our final spooky episode for the year.
It is, rip.
It's not spooky at all. Oh. It's not spooky.
We tried.
We tried, but this time we're going for a different vibe. I'm hoping it won't disappoint.
I don't even know if mine was spooky.
I mean, I guess like,
like a serial killer.
Yeah.
That's like,
but she was so charismatic that it's hard to be afraid of her.
The fairy one was spooky because that's like, you're like, haha, fairies, whatever. And then you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, what if my brain does that to me one day? Oh no.
Children. Okay. Yeah.
So we'll just continue.
The bar is low.
Yeah. The bar is low. And we're here to talk about something today that I think is going to be a good time.
Great.
And there is not a sad thing in here. High five.
Are you kidding?
High fucking five.
What the hell?
This episode is just climax after climax after climax. Pun intended.
Wow.
For a sex show.
Have we ever had an episode?
Not sure. Like, I'm not sure. This might be a record. We may be breaking records.
Especially from you.
I've never been happy, so this is
a
whole new thing for me.
You okay?
I've reached a whole new low point where I've come all the way back up.
Yeah, Lacey
just so
is
I could
wearing
fall again.
All white. completely.
I want to talk to you about this new community I'm with. It's like a commune. It's great. We just support each other.
Yes.
Don't worry, you're gonna love it.
Well.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Every year, at the beginning of sunset, on the 31st of October, the Gaels, is that what you would call Gaelic people?
We'll say. Okay.
Yeah, Gaels. Yeah. The Gaels are an etholinguistic group native to Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man.
Mm-hmm.
So every sunset, October 31st. They would gather around bonfires, slaughter a couple animals. It's fine.
Okay, sure. Breeze right past it.
And to celebrate the end of the harvest season and welcome in the dark half of the year.
Ooh, that's spooky.
Yeah.
That's spooky.
Ooh, spooky.
I'm scared.
This ancient Gaelic festival was known as Samhain, spelt Samhain.
Okay.
I think it's like the pagan, basically we're talking about the partially roots of Halloween. People have a lot of opinions on what made Halloween what it is today. This is one of them. So Samhain is believed to be when the barriers between the physical world and the spirit world break down, meaning fairies, watch out, ghosts, nature spirits, pagan gods, all that could easily enter our realm on this night.
Oh, shit.
That will will soon be approaching.
Wow. Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'd totally get into that if I wish that's what actually happened on Halloween. Instead, I'm just going to give kids some candy and probably go get drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not as magical. I mean, I but it is it's once fun. I'm drunk. Yeah. So. it was also thought that the souls of the dead revisited their homes during this time.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. During Samhain, the Gaels would prepare offerings and leave them outside of villages and fields for visiting fairies and spirits. But for the ones that made it into town, they would wear costumes and masks to either ward off unwelcome spirits or trick this ghost, basically, and be like, you don't recognize me, and you might even actually, you probably also think I'm also a ghost, so don't even worry about me. Just like, whoa, keep walking, Mr. Ghost guy. Do not kidnap this one because I'm a ghost too.
Woo. I'm also a ghost. Just ignore me.
Just like you. Totally normal. That's
a
great
rule of thumb for whenever you see a ghost. You're just like, pretend also. No, you don't have to scare me.
I'm actually also dead. This is same with demons. Yeah, just I'm be like, no. Satan guys. And I are like, you know, so tight.
Yeah. That's a good.
He loves me.
Keep that in mind.
Sent me here too. these costumes, typically depicting animals or monsters, would consist of animal heads and skins.
Okay. Cool. Yes, nice.
Metal.
Really cool.
Many centuries later, Americans began dressing up in costumes and going Freudian slip. Excuse me.
Oh, I wish.
That's just how I celebrate Halloween. You know what I mean?
Rubbing asses on houses.
Rubbing my ass on houses.
That's what all these Zoomers are doing.
I know. Kids these days. They're crazy.
On Mischief Night.
As I was attempting to say, going house to house asking for food or money. And Halloween as we know it was born. Also,
we should ask for money again.
Actually, that should be the adult version of trick-or-treating. Yeah. It's just going around and being like, money, please.
Can I have $5?
If not, can I have that picture frame?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take anything.
Yeah.
What do you got
Whatever
for me?
You got, yeah, like, truly. Throw it in this pillowcase.
Just like a nice thing. Can you just like say something? Can you compliment me? I'll take that. I'm easy. Trick-or-treat. Halloween also has roots in the Roman festivals of the dead and All Saints Day / All Hallows, but we're moving on because that's not what we're even talking about. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to call that out so that people aren't like, there's actually other, and then I'd have to be like, wow,
people are going to be listening that, okay? Very closely.
But anywho, we're back to Halloween. We're back in America. It's the mid 19th century. Yeah. Welcome home.
Thank you.
It was often celebrated. In the mid, because I feel like I was about to tell you what we do on Halloween, and I'm like, Robin probably knows.
I do remember,
but then
year.
I remembered that we were talking about mid 19th century.
Oh yeah, yeah
we weren't
yeah.
there for that, so I'll keep telling you. Okay, should I leave you. Or?
Yeah, I got it.
okay, great. It's the 1800s. We love it. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating Halloween. We're having costume parades and saucy parties.
Whoa.
And of course.
Yeah.
Of course. The man does not stand for it. He is not here for your partying and your fun and your promiscuity. No. Immediately. Steps are taken. Not immediately. I don't know. At some point. Like, it could have been years, centuries, who knows? At some point, though, in time, steps were taken to domesticate and rebrand Halloween to the Victorian era of morality.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Boom. Is it just a fucking fun. Wedding? What is that?
Yeah, I don't even actually even know. I didn't even look it up, but it's not cool.
It sounds boring as hell. Mm-hmm. That's just another night of staying.
Yeah, like what is even the what's holiday at that point?
Yeah, there's no fun.
No fun at all.
That's a big bummer.
Halloween was made into a private holiday. How do you do that? I have no idea.
Huh?
How do you just like, no, it's not public anymore. It's privatized. Private to whom?
So you just stay inside and think about it. Like what? With your little witch hat on. Just sitting inside.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Covering up your ankles, making sure those aren't showing. Stop being a slut. You know? They de-emphasized the drinking and the sexiness of the Halloween, and they made it a kids-only holiday. No faster way to kill a good time.
Yeah, what?
Put children in it, you know?
I know.
What's the fun?
Kids only. They're running around, having a blast. Mm-hmm. You got to watch and regret.
And remember.
Ever growing.
Like, you're just never going to feel that kind of happiness ever again.
Yeah, really just rubbing salt in the wound.
Feels good.
You're already depressed.
Thanks.
And now it's Halloween.
You know, we had one night of fun to forget how much we hate our lives.
Yeah.
And they were like, done with it. It's for kids only now.
Man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
It does
Pour one out for those Halloweens.
I agree. Though, you know.
I will never stop celebrating Halloween, ever. You can put money on it.
You can put it in the bank. Put that in the.
And then seal it up, call your doctor. Seal that up. Post that in the mail.
In the mail. So, get it priority delivered.
It here.
And open it back up and let it out.
That's right.
Robin's never going to stop celebrating.
Every day. Rest of my life.
Beautiful metaphor. I feel like everyone followed that to a chi and they understand what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, it's an old saying.
Yeah. Actually, I had it written right here from the 1800s. Okay, so no one's having fun anymore. No one's having a good time, except for the kids. But their costumes stayed spooky. Early Halloween costumes were usually homemade.
Fun.
And as opposed to being a particular creature or character, they were just like themes, like ghosts and witches and pumpkins and black cats and the moon,
Oh, the moon.
The whole moon?
Wait,
or
that's awesome. Just being out dressed as the moon, like a little kid in this huge circle of a costume. That's adorable.
By the 1930s, costumes began to be based on characters from popular films, literature, and radio.
Okay.
And the traditional costumes started to expand as well to vampires and werewolves and zombies and skeletons, goblins, trolls, devils, etc., etc.
Nice.
You're familiar.
Totally.
I mean, all the goblins we know. know. You. What?
End of list.
Yes, back to it. Sorry, I get so wrapped up when we talk
trash. When
I'm
being hilarious.
My best jokes are at the detriment of you.
Oh, bless.
There are also costumes of pop culture figures as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Costumes continue to expand. So we're getting into like pop culture figures. We got like presidents and athletes and celebrities and characters from film and television and literature, etc., etc.
Nice.
The 1960s and 70s brought the age of the sexy costume.
Getting some
skin out.
They're so funny. Like, slutty blank costumes are always funny. Even if they're, like, seriously slutty, it's, like, funny, but it's also, like, fun.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's your night. Tonight's your night.
Tonight is your night.
Fucking own it. I saw, like, a slutty cowgirl costume ad the other day, and I was, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Not practical.
Mm-mm.
And I'm loving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, well, thank goodness for these scantily clad people
out on Halloween.
Yeah,
just braving the cold.
It's so fun. I love like the slutty nuns.
Love them.
Love like a slutty hot dog.
Ugh,
just
gotta have it. I won't have a hot dog any other way.
Yeah,
I actually break off most of the bun, so that's all ween. You know what I mean? My own hot dogs.
Oh, I hate that. I hate the phrase all ween. But thank you for
you are
it.
Good.
So humbled.
Oh my God. Okay, sexy costumes. The mainstream looks at this as a thing for women, as yes. is evident by Spirit Halloween, which said, and I quote,
okay.
women love dressing up in sexy Halloween costumes and showing off some skin because it's fun.
It fucking is.
Good time. That was their that was on their 2019 website, and they just get it.
I love it.
They get
that.
It. It's fun.
It is fucking fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I would like to see sexy costumes for all genders, though, appear on that, because apparently they yes. only had sexy for women.
Really?
Come on, everybody wants to be sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Get your clothes off.
Get
a costume
rears in
that
gear.
Actually takes off your clothes.
Yes.
Put
yes.
on a costume that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. And my phone number is 555-555-55.
No, they really should expand the sexy costumes for all genders.
On board, Spirit Halloween. I should have looked up. Yeah. Maybe it's 2021. Maybe they have it.
I'm sure they do, but...
Let's find out.
But you it's also this- like, what's stopping anyone from buying a sexy, you know, cheerleader...
And just wearing it.
And
you
know.
Like we should just have a XXL. Sexy sex shown.
Yeah. Are you looking at
it? Yeah, I gotta know. Can I just type in sexy?
There's gotta be like sexy lumberjack and sexy construction man.
Okay. So when you I would like to see more skin on some of these. Male in unisex costumes, but you know what? Man. At least they're still appearing. I'll give them a pass. 2019 Spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
Woke the fuck up.
Yeah. We are the future now.
Changing the world. Amazing. You heard it here first.
Oh man. Can I interrupt and ask you, what's your favorite Halloween costume that you've ever done? Do you have a single favorite?
That's a great question. I think it would have to be 1 year Danny and I dressed up as Garth and Wayne from Wayne's World. And aww. It was just very comfortable because totally. It was like jeans and a t-shirt.
Yes.
And a flannel. But also we went to a haunted house, which we used to do all the time on Halloween when we lived in Salt Lake City, because they had a magnificent haunted house. If you live in Utah, close to Salt Lake City, check out Nightmare on 13th. It is, the production value. Amazing.
That's awesome.
But it was so fun because we would go through and just out of the darkness from a voice from nowhere would just be like, party on, Garth. And I'd be like, this is the most fun I've ever had. Like, even people wanted our pictures in the parking lot all night. And I was like, this is
that's
somehow
so fun.
Has just made my night. I feel like everybody's just like,
yeah, you know, everybody, it's so recognizable. Mm-hmm. It's always good. It's a classic.
Classic.
Like, it's the best. That's uh-huh. adorable.
Okay, what's yours? That.
I think when my husband and I were the Shining twins, that was really fun.
That's a good one.
He got a wig and everything. I got us really cute blue dresses mm-hmm. with little pink ribbons.
I love that.
Just did a lot of pictures holding hands looking scary. That was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Yeah. Did you ever do like a slutty one?
High school. I had I was a slutty cop.
Oh my God.
Now, that. Obviously, I wouldn't choose the cop.
I know. In Seattle, especially. All night, people be like, people fuck you up. Rightfully
A-cab,
so.
A-cab, but you do look hot, okay? Yeah. But I have
gotta
to say
give
it.
To you there. Damn.
What about you?
Oh, God. I don't think I ever did an actual sexy costume, which now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, I should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would also want it to be like... funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like something you wouldn't expect to be sexy.
Well, I mean, listen, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff in this episode, so
yes.
maybe it will be inspired.
Oh my God. Yes.
Let's do this. Okay.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, no, that's
I just
okay.
I love talking about Halloween costumes.
I know, me too, actually.
So fun.
The reemergence of Halloween as an adult holiday was largely in thanks to gay Halloween parades in cities like New York, LA, and San Francisco.
What?
Yes, at these parades, attendees dressed in like elaborate costumes.
Oh my God. I didn't know these were a thing. Are they still a thing?
Sorry. I think they are still a thing. I think that when this happened, I don't believe Pride was a thing yet. So it was almost kind of treated like Pride. And now that there is a Pride, I don't know if it's still that kind of celebration or if Pride has kind of made Halloween less of a go full out, save it for Pride kind of thing. I'm not totally sure, but I'm sure that there are still fantastic gay Halloween parades happening, especially in the larger cities with like larger communities. But amazing stuff. Some great pictures online of people in their costumes. At first, it was mostly drag queens, but as the years went on, it was like everyone started participating in the like costuming, really going all out, very like daring and grandiose and sometimes very sexual. Gotta do it. And Halloween was a festival for everyone to like come out and be creative and express themselves in like a safe environment, which is I love that.
That's so true about Halloween. It always feels like everybody's just having a good time. There's no pressure to be any type of way.
There are no questions about your costume, no matter if it's like hella weird, super hot, totally normal, like a obscure reference. Like everybody loves everything.
Yeah.
We accept it all.
And you can finally like dress up as that thing you've always wanted to dress up as when you're watching TV and you're like, I don't care if anyone gets it. This
doesn't matter. For me. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's wonderful. And I think it's something that we need to start carrying on throughout the whole year.
Monthly at least.
At least.
Just to get it out of our system.
So in the late 1980s and early 90s, Halloween saw another sexy resurgence with the campy, glamorous goth sex pot Elvira.
Oh my God.
Bitch.
Oh.
She's so hot.
She's
amazing. Jesus, she's so hot.
So amazing. Fucking hot.
Hilarious. Amazing. So
cool. Have you seen her movie?
I don't think I ever have.
I saw like for it, and it looks so obviously campy, so over the top. So like,
okay, we need to watch it.
Yeah, I think we need to watch it. It
perfect.
Looks so fun. So yeah,
I just kind of know her as like a culture. Like she's just like an icon that is always like everybody knows about her.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, we're gonna have to get more into Elvira. Yes. I think
now's the time. Now's the time.
2021. We get our Elvira.
That's our thing now.
We're doing it. We're just walking to bars and be like, "Have you heard of Elvira?
Like, what year is it?"
Also, the mainstream status of Playboy. Hello.
Hi.
Of Playboy bunnies.
Oh,
they really got everybody kind of got into like the sexy bunny costumes. And it was just like within those like decades thing, like a lot of costumes, a lot of sex appeal was becoming more mainstream in general. So when Halloween comes, when you drop those inhibitions and you're like, I'm going to just get crazy. Mm-hmm. It was coming all out.
Yes.
Love it. And from there, nothing was safe from sexy when it came to costumes. You know, Mr. Rogers, sexy sold out chicken sandwiches. I saw that somewhere. You remember
sexy sold out
chicken sandwiches? You remember when Popeyes came out with the chicken sandwich? And then everybody was like, chicken sandwich wars.
I don't know this.
You don't know this?
I don't know this.
Wow. Have you ever had the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
Never. Been to
We're going to have to do it. It's like one right over there.
I know. I see it a lot.
And oh, it's delicious. Their biscuits are so good.
So there was, what's the sold out thing?
Okay, so it's like Popeyes drops a chicken sandwich and people freaked out and it sold out because everybody wanted to try it. And it was like, these are the best. And then people were like, nah, Chick-fil-A. And then people were like, nah, other chicken places. I can't remember.
Where the hell was I? That sounds crazy.
I don't even know.
Mayhem.
Did you like die for a little bit?
I wish. Yeah, I love that. Sexy sold out chicken sandwich.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, but it's worth it.
Yes.
Also because it's a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat them.
That's right. Fuck you.
With your mouth. Oh my god, we are truly on page 3 of 12.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, okay.
Oh god. Sorry.
Continuing. So it was only a matter of time before the sexy got its sex on, which brings us to our real topic for today's.
Oh god. Okay.
We just got there. No worries. It's fine. Let's talk about some hot Halloween and costumed fetishes and kinks.
Oh, shall shit. We? There we go.
Yes, yes, yes. I was getting somewhere with it. I just had to give you like a quick build up about here's how we got to costumes. Here's how costumes got to sexy. And now we're just talking about sex in general.
Yes. Perfect.
Love it.
Love it. Oh, artfully done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's called storytelling. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, there's a general role play or scene play. Mm-hmm. This is a common kink where you're playing as a character for sexual gratification. We're talking nurse and patient.
Yes.
We're talking boss and secretary.
Yes.
Professor and teacher. Maid. Professor and teacher. Student. Professor and teacher and student. It's when your teacher, your high school teacher fucks your college professor and you watch. Everyone's had that. That fantasy.
Hot. That's definitely a new one for me. And now I think that's my thing.
Yeah. Just wait till you get home. You're not going to be able to get it out of your head. And guess what? They're both math teachers.
Oh.
A callback to some other episode. No one's going to know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, so you get it.
I
sexy
do.
Stuff.
Yeah.
For maids sure. And dirty lamps. What is the maid one? Are you the owner of the home? What is that one? I wonder.
And you're a lamp.
You're just a dusty.
You're a whole picture house.
Frame. Clean me up. I don't know. That one feels. I feel like I should. No, I don't.
I like that one.
That's good. I like it too. I think it's great.
House and maid.
Beautiful. Role play. Such sexy stuff. Dr. Justin Lemiller, a researcher at the Kinsey Institute, you recall, suggests that people who like fantastical role playing often shared the fantasy prone personality trait and generally have active imagination. So if you fall in this, just know, look at you.
Yeah, look
probably
at you.
Very creative, probably very imaginative.
Oh, I love that.
There is also a biological drive known as the Coolidge effect that says that we find sexual novelty and variety titillating.
Oh.
So anything that's new. So it's like if you're like, well, yeah, we're both people. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We're not nurses and teachers. Then we're going to be tonight. That's new. That's fun. But the world of kinks and fetishes are wide and varied. Mm-hmm. No, the world is just one. So it is wide and varied.
Yes.
I want to get into some specific things.
Sure.
I want to get real specific.
Please.
I have a question for you.
What?
What is the first word that comes to mind when I say clowns?
Okay.
Okay, that's the word. Okay. I love it. That's a good word.
I do have, it's not one word, but it's my high school boyfriend.
He was a clown?
No, he liked just clowns. Like really liked, I mean, okay, listen, it was high school. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was like, that's a really cool interest of yours, but he likes sad clowns. Like he liked pictures of sad clowns and he had a sad clown on his wall. He's just like, I just like
it. Was a picture of you.
Walked right into that one. Damn, that's good.
My mind. I'm sorry. I do think that's an interesting thing to be like, to like collect like sad clowns.
So that I always think of that when somebody says clowns.
It's just my ex-boyfriend and sad clowns.
Yeah, that's probably not what the exercise was meant to. No, well,
I'm just curious. I was just wanting to get your reaction. Because I actually am terrified of clowns. Okay. I think they're very scary.
They're kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Sad clowns especially.
Yeah, I actually think the happier they are.
Yes.
At least. Well, nope. I don't know. Actually, I take that back. They're scary. I think they're both scary. They're both very scary to me.
Yeah.
But they're not. Well, I guess. Okay. I'm just going to keep going. Coulrophilia, maybe is how you would say it, is a sexual attraction to clowns, mimes, and jesters.
Okay.
So, do you remember, God, I feel like if you didn't know the chicken thing, you might not know this either, but we're going to try. Do you remember when there were all those videos happening on the internet where scary clowns were just like staring, like standing in dark corners and staring at people, and people were like making YouTube videos? You recall this, right?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, so while that was
happening. Sorry.
No, it's awful. Like, Absolutely awful. Hated it too. Watched all of them. Nightmare fuel, honestly. But at the same exact time that that was happening, Pornhub saw a 213% increase in clown-related searches.
What?
100,000 searches for clown porn in a single month.
Wow.
Clowns, they're back, baby.
It's like people saw it and they got like a fear boner.
I kind of, some of it is. So I have like some reasons in here. So according to a sex blogger, sex educator, and self-proclaimed pleasure advocate, Sunny Megatron, I'm guessing that's maybe not their real name.
No.
No, that's what my mom is, Miss Megatron. Clown sex can satisfy very different things for different people. Mm-hmm. Some like to play with the fear of it. So it's like scary clowns get their adrenaline going, they get their endorphins pumping. And studies have shown that people can get they can confuse feelings of fear and arousal.
Right.
And that there is in quotes from an article that I took this from, an actual physiological arousal response that can happen when the sexy gets mixed with the scary. So it's almost like it adds a little extra.
Yeah, like, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I never thought about it like in a way of like, that's your fetish because you're kind of afraid of it.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yes. It doesn't have to be that though. So Megatron.
Yep.
Also, who also shares this fetish with her partner. Uh-huh. She says that for her, it's because she grew up very sexually repressed and that being a clown during sex made it easier for her to be like her like stupid, silly self in bed. It was just like kind of like a, yeah, like a reason for her to just like let loose. And
that's
like, I'm already dressed like a clown. So like,
what I can be as, yeah. Yeah, like,
it's, be as silly as I want.
Yeah. Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah. I kind of like that too. Yeah, I mean, it makes like clowns just very slightly less terrifying.
Yeah.
If they were all having sex, maybe I'd feel better about them. Silly sex.
Oh my God.
She also described clown sex parties. And said that you may see balloon animals, cream pies, and rubber chickens, which I'm just like, I want to go to this place. But at the same time, it sounds like my worst nightmare because there's going to be a bunch of clowns there.
Yeah, wow.
But it's just like, I want to see this. I would love to just
experience
it. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like my face would just be like.
You're like, you can't, you don't blink because there's so much to take in.
Balloon animals.
Like so many
amazing
feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oh man, we gotta find amazing. One of
this
those.
This is great. And for her partner, the clown fetish thing, it fulfills his desire to be rude, but like funny rude, not mean rude.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Totally.
But let's say you're not into clowns. Try this one on for size. Okay. It's a diaper.
Okay.
Age play or paraphilic infantilism.
Mm-hmm.
This is a role play with range. So,
yeah.
It can go from like rated E for everyone style, where it's just kind of things like calling your partner baby or daddy in bed.
Uh-huh,
okay, so that like kind of counts as like very dip your toe in the water.
Sure.
Or you could go to like school uniform role play.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, Catholic school.
child.
You know? Sorry. I mean, adult child, but I mean, if you think that the school uniform's a problem, here we go all the way down to the full end of this, which is being dressed and acting like an adult baby. True. Which, you know, it's it just works for some people. And infantilists, they can wear diapers, they can drink from a bottle, they crawl around on the floor, get baby baths, which kind of into that one. Like, that sounds nice. Just like relax and let someone else
in
just
the kitchen sink.
Yeah. I'm it's almost too big. Eat baby food, play with baby toys, get spanked.
Well,
yep. So there's a little taste of that one.
Sure.
You know? Okay. So let's move on from babies to BDSM.
Okay.
Okay. So this covers obviously a lot of different things. It's bondage, discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism. And I'm sure one day in a future episode, we will deep dive into all of those things, but I'm just going to focus on the costume part of it for now.
Sure.
And there is a general category of clothing fetishism where people find a particular article or type of clothing or uniform sexually arousing. So we kind of talked about the uniform thing and the like age play, but you can also just like a certain type of fabric for like how it or material for like how it looks or how it feels. And fetish clothing and accessories or fetish fashion include materials like latex and rubber and leather and lace. So sexy fabrics.
Sexy stuff.
These aren't directly tied to BDSM, but they are strongly associated with it. So that's kind of why I put them in into this group together. But you can certainly have or do one without the other and vice versa. It was in the 1800s when rubber started gaining popularity that people discovered that it was like kind of sexually pleasurable. And mostly because it was had this like unique look. It had this like smell and taste to it. The sound, even the feel of it. Everyone was just like, this is a hot raincoat. which is actually one of the things that like blew it up. So there was this raincoat made in 1824. It was called the Macintosh raincoat, and it just got the rubber lover community excited.
Oh my god.
Yes,
that's like so much earlier than I would have thought.
Yes. Oh, they were 1824 and they were just in there like rubbing that raincoat, being like, what is happening? Because I'm into it. and they were so excited that they wrote letters to the manufacturer about it, about its erotic, like, just sensation, like, something, the ability it had to be erotic. And then later they founded the Macintosh Society, one of England's first modern fetish organizations.
Named after the raincoat.
After the raincoat. The raincoat really made an impression.
Legendary. I would love to see like a vintage Macintosh
raincoat. That's true. I'm going to find it. I'm going to try to find one of those. I'll try to post it on social. We got to see it. I need to know the raincoat that started it all.
Legendary.
Latex or rubber fetishists may refer to themselves as rubberists as well. Just a little... some slang in case you need it later. In case you get your hands on that raincoat, you know what I mean? It seems to be World War II that brought leather into the fetish scene, which also was interesting to me. So according to sociologist Meredith G.F. Worthen, author of Sexual Deviance in Society, the leather community first appeared after World War II because men in the military were having a hard time adjusting back to mainstream society. They're basically, after their experience in the military, had allowed them to explore homosexual desires for the first time. When the war was over, they were kind of, they were looking for that kind of connection again.
That's also news to me. Like, I didn't realize.
I honestly never heard that either. So hopefully that's accurate.
But it also makes sense.
So I love that so much that that's how the, like, leather fetish kind of, it was born, was just people being like, well, you know, I fought in a war, made some good memories outside of all the awful ones that come along with war.
True.
And, And now I need my place back in mainstream society.
Yeah.
And they found it in motorcycle communities where leather was often worn.
Yes.
Yes.
Work.
Yes. So they're riding these hogs.
And they're riding the motorcycles.
And the motorcycles. Oh, they're wearing leather and wow. They're feeling like very masculine, very like dangerous and dominant.
Totally.
And they found it very alluring, very powerful.
Wow.
Good stuff. And so many think that this is what opened the door to leather being tied to like erotic power.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. I love it so much.
I just never thought about it even because it's just you see leather and you're like hot.
Yeah, hot.
You don't. I never thought about why.
Why? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that actually explains it.
I mean, it's just like you get leather on and you're feel bad. In a good way.
Yes.
I feel good, bad right now. I feel like I want to slap someone.
Yeah.
Push them against a wall consensually.
Yeah. Like slap them, kiss them, slap them again. That's, I love all that with move.
Very, very really adamant confused. Consent. Very, oh, absolutely. A little confused, but they like it though, okay? But the leather is leather, doing baby. It to both of us. No one can say no. Hello, it's the leather.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing.
So I love it. And today, leather fetish wear is worn by leather men in sex clubs, parties, at pride parades, and during sex, but also just every day. Like it's just kind of become a part of like normal fashion as well. It also holds a significance in the BDSM community. In 1970s in San Francisco, leather accessories like caps were indicators that the wearer was interested in sadomasochistic sex. So it was kind of like I'm going to wear this so everybody knows.
Yeah.
What's up? Hit me up if you're into it. Let's get it on.
Yeah.
And then also because leather can be tight and kind of restricting, it's kind of got that like it can act as a sexual bondage also. Also, of course, you know, like whips and things are made out of it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
Thank you.
Just in case you weren't sure. I know you like the visuals. Yeah. So all of these materials are also tied to sex workers and dominatrixes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a beautiful community of people in all their rubber and leather and latex.
I love that.
Looking hot as hell.
Amazing.
Get it on. I love it. Look at so you guys.
Cool. That's so fun.
Okay, speaking of bad boys.
Okay, let's
and
do
girls
it.
Girls and non-binary people.
Yes.
Hybristophilia.
Okay.
Is a sexual interest in and attraction to those who commit crimes.
Wow.
Yes. So that's it's crazy. Called okay. Whenever you are sexually aroused and attracted to people who commit crimes.
Right.
In popular culture, this phenomenon is also known as the Bonnie and Clyde syndrome.
Oh, interesting.
Obviously, that is technically like real criminals. So
yes.
But luckily, you can explore this fantasy in a consensual, safe manner through costume and role play.
Of course. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Burglars, bank robbers, the biggest criminals of all, cops. yes, I love right. it. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Okay, another fetish that you can safely practice belongs to a community of at least 250,000 people in the U.S.
Whoa.
Want to guess?
No.
Okay. I thought as much, but I wanted to ask. I wanted you to admit
just
that you
no
know.
Idea. I just
oh,
have
it's okay.
No idea.
I truly wouldn't either.
I mean, we've gone in so many directions.
Why would you ask me that? Who knows?
Could be anything.
Furries.
Oh, I was going to say fishermen.
Yeah. Fishermen indeed.
But of course, furries. How could we
furries,
forget?
Furries, of yes. course. So furries are people who enjoy dressing up as cartoonish animals. Sometimes they do so as a sexual fetish. I want to note that this is not a sexual thing. Like,
right.
their True. Community is not just, it's like a community that exists for a lot of reasons. Some people partake in the sexual activities while in costume, but I don't want to spread misconceptions that already exist. Mm-hmm. But this is a sex and sex stuff podcast, so of course we're going to focus on the sex fetish mm-hmm. part of it.
True, true.
But just know, not all furries, you know?
True, it's true.
Okay, so before we dive into the costume part, I will also note that fur in and of itself can be a fetish, much like the mm-hmm. leather and rubber and stuff, because it can like act as a second skin for the person wearing it. It can stimulate your senses.
Sure.
There's like an animalistic aspect in there somewhere, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Grr. Getting hot in here. I'm honestly, I'm sweating so much.
I think it's the
alcohol in that one clown joke that just really set my body temperature up. But now I'm committed to wearing this. This very soft jacket. So I'm going to keep it on. I'd have to take off my headphones. It'd be a whole thing. I won't do it. I won't interrupt the show like that. But no, I will talk about it for about 20 minutes.
You want to keep talking about how you feeling?
Okay, for the furry community specifically, examples of sexual aspects can include erotic art and furry-themed cyber sex.
Oh.
I also did read that I read like a person who was talking about their own experience, and they were saying like they do have sex IRL in the costume, but that it isn't the easiest thing to do. So it's like,
I can't imagine.
Oral sex is on the table, but probably, you know. Oh, and also it was just like the costume is so beautiful and like
it's true.
Nice that they don't want to mess it up.
It's with those sex they stuff. Spend a lot of money on those things. Yeah. They're like so just custom created for each person. But I can imagine logistically, maybe not the most realistic, but still.
But still, I mean, maybe a quick blowjob.
Get it done.
You know, maybe
you can find a way.
Just have a little small oral sex session.
Yeah.
And then you're back on the convention floor.
Yeah.
But also YIFF, YIFF, is a slang term used in the furry fandom to refer to pornographic content, which is kind of adorable. I love that, you know? What's up, Robin? Oh, you're just watching a little YIFF?
Yeah.
So cute. I love that.
No. Oh, man. It is very playful and fun.
I like it a lot. I think it's cute.
The name, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, the porn.
No shaming. Not for me.
It can also refer to sexual activity within the subculture, whether it be online or in real life. Outside of the furry community specifically, researchers have found that... Well, I just said research, so maybe it's only one study. I don't want to go off the books and be factual right now. Is that a word?
God forbid.
Research has found that the appeal of fantastical sexual scenarios, like a desire for creature sex, was particularly strong among folks with marginalized sexualities and genders.
Mm.
An article that was talking about this said that experts in psychology and media history told us that identification with and sexual desire for monstrous creatures can be uniquely appealing for folks who felt similarly othered, ostracized, stigmatized, and rejected by mainstream society. Another quote from Christy Overstreet, a psychotherapist and author with a doctorate in clinical sexology. Okay, brag.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
I mean, ooh, you know stuff, whatever. She said that being different attracts you to others who are seen as different. So... there is comfort in being connected with another person that understands the mystery, build up, anticipation, and not knowing what to expect with a creature brings a lot of sexual allure.
Interesting.
I think that's a fine reasoning, but I also do wonder if perhaps people outside of the cisgender straight community are also just more sexually free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just more comfortable. Just they're open. More, you know, like, I'm going to be myself. I don't care what the mainstream thinks. I don't know. I mean, that's just like a, it could be.
Right.
Also could be what they said in this. I don't know. And this can also go into what is known as cosplay sex, which is pretty self-explanatory. But you bang while in character of something specific. But it's also like a whole nother level of commitment to it because they have like really good outfits.
Right.
You know, some of them, some people who do this also do it like every time they have sex. It's like always full cost. Can you imagine? I mean, like, I'm like, I haven't shaved in 3 weeks. God, is that going to be a problem or?
Get up or
yeah. Honestly, so applaud to the work that must go into that.
Yeah.
And cosplay sex can be as simple as like just a Harry Potter costume, but also people go like all out, like full body costumes,
like elaborate made makeup it themselves, spend months and months perfecting
storylines, acting. It's like a full fantasy.
Yeah, wow. Damn.
Yeah, that's it's pretty impressive.
That's time consuming.
It is very time consuming. I mean, people are dedicated to it and like it's amazing. Some of the like like work that people do to build their cosplay costumes to be so accurate to whatever the character is that they're portraying, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, and it's, that work. That's like beyond a kink. That is like, that's your thing. And like sex happens to be great because of it. Yeah. That's fucking cool.
But I know what you're thinking.
Okay.
What about my love of plants? We gotta talk about it. Dendrophilia is characterized by sexual attraction to trees and nature.
Whoa. Yeah.
Talk about morning wood.
Oh my fucking God.
I'm just kidding. I'll stop beating around the bush.
No! Stop. Fuck!
Yeah, I hate myself too. Don't worry. Don't worry. We all hate me. It's almost Halloween. I'm having fun. I'm dressed as a clown right now. I know. My normal clothes.
I blinked and it's
accurate.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I've never heard of this.
Yes. So it I mean, honestly, I don't even really have anything else on it except that it is just people who, are sexually attracted to trees. They find that arousing.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can, you know, dress up like a tree and see what happens.
Yeah.
Make that your Halloween costume.
Just try it out.
And get a little crazy.
Yeah. You know? Fuck it. Awaken something. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so there were also some non-costume, but very Halloween sex stuff that I just thought I'd throw in at the end here, because why not? Fun times.
Yes.
So speaking of nature, for some people, pumpkins really do it for them.
Whoa.
According to one study, men were blindly smelling different scents, it was pumpkin was one of the biggest turn-ons. So
what?
Maybe it just got some people going. I think they were measuring, like, the study was sniff it and we'll measure the like
boner
the dick, see if there is erection status reached or whatever.
Interesting.
Yes, yes.
Wow, everybody shit talks the pumpkin spice shit, but like,
apparently you're not getting laid.
Sex freaks running around. Yep. With
that's
PSLs.
Why they love it so much. It just is satisfying.
I would love to see like a Christian protest outside of a Starbucks being like, like citing this study.
That would be amazing. It's Satan spice.
It is.
Pumpkins.
It is. And it makes me want it more.
I'm going to dress up like Satan and sniff that pumpkin.
That's right.
No, no one's going to be able to stop you then.
No.
Some people also do engage in sexual activities with pumpkins.
Okay. Well.
Yes. From the butt shape of them to the ability to carve a hole. You know what I'm saying? Firm outside, squishy inside.
Sure.
There you have it.
Okay.
And there you go. You're getting, and then you.
You're on your way.
You do it. You do your thing.
But just what imagining if, like one man at a pumpkin patch. Yeah. Just looking for
He's just like holding it. right at genitals level.
He's like kind of grabbing one with his full palm.
Maybe like a smack on it.
Gives him a smack. Oh my God.
Pulls out a measuring tape and just like gets the full.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. You know what? Whatever does it for you. You're not hurting anybody.
I wonder if there's people out there that like stack pumpkins in like a snowman fashion and make it like a full experience.
Yeah. Just like a lot of butts.
All the butts. Just a whole person made of butts. Yeah. But the top butt has a face.
Now we're talking. Oh my gosh.
See, I knew I'd get you there. I knew I could sell you on it. But what if you hurt yourself by accident while fucking a pumpkin?
Yeah.
What if you bleed?
Oh my God.
Luckily, there's a fetish for that too.
No.
Yeah, there is. Hematologina. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It involves sexual arousal by blood.
Okay.
This fetish obviously requires a lot of safety precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Or fake blood, which I like that path better. That feels safer. That feels better to me personally.
Into that.
Just be careful out there is all I'm saying. But for those interested in this, the smell and sight and texture of blood may be arousing.
Sure.
Depending on what they're into, they may want to wipe blood across their partner's body during sex.
Okay.
They may use knives or something similar.
Okay.
So this is the thing, like I read, and like it is like people practice this as part of, you know, like obviously with BDSM, part of that is pain as pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So like cutting them like on their chest and breasts and like other places. And a lot of it was just like, just be careful, make sure it's like 100% consensual, do your research, be 100% sober, make sure you trust that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, do I trust anyone enough?
This
actually has opened up a whole world to me of questioning, have I ever trusted anyone?
To be with me with a knife, right?
I'm not sure I would let anyone cut me.
That is a
great
point. I mean, that is a next level trust exercise.
That's a trust.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the ultimate trust fall.
Yeah.
That is
intense. Just don't know about it. I mean, I let people tattoo me, and that's like a little poke with a needle. I bleed.
Yeah.
But a knife?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I guess a doctor, but I'd have to be under. I'd be under when that scalpel gets on me. Because if they were like, can I just cut you real quick? And I'd be like, no, I don't care if you're a doctor. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Wow.
What do you think?
I don't know. Not for me.
Well, but would you, if you were like, I might be into this. Do you feel like the trust is there to let someone cut you with a knife?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I just don't know if I trust anything like that.
Thinking about it, I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know about it. I don't know about it. Yeah. No, not. Nope.
Also, like, paper cuts hurt. So, like,
maybe I need to do some, like, searching inward.
I think we need to look inward.
Yeah.
We need to reevaluate why we don't trust anyone and come back to this
later. To slice us up with a knife. This is my fault.
Yeah. We need to figure out why we're broken and we won't let someone cut us with a knife. I just don't know if I trust anyone enough to do that.
Yeah.
Once you are cut, some people like to lick and drink the blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Period sex can also be considered a form of blood play.
Sure.
Okay. That one I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Been there.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
God. I mean, I'm thinking about all these, like, all the vampire shit. Every vampire thing anywhere is so sexual, like hypersexualized.
Yes.
And it's like, there's gotta be a reason for it.
There
and
is.
Also you see it and you're like, wait, is that hot?
I don't know.
Confused.
I don't know.
You see Twilight and you're like, what's going on?
What are all these feelings? What are all these tingles?
It's vampires are so, they just exude sex for whatever reason. Yeah. And
who's the hottest vampire to you? Who'd you have to name?
Fucking Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows.
That's a great one. And if I were picking one too, Nadja would be top level.
She's my fucking favorite. She's so fucking funny.
She's so hilarious.
So hot.
So just.
She's so funny.
Perfect.
Oh my god.
Oh, she's so perfect.
But whenever Matt Berry talks, I'm like, you got me again. Oh my god.
Here
you
I can am.
Say anything
come,
to me.
Come cut me open, I guess. We're doing it.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. I had that ready to go, too.
You did. Exactly, I actually feel like I might have to think about it, because I'm like, all the vampires. There's a lot of them.
Well, isn't Tom Cruise one?
Interview with a Vampire. Yeah. You're right. You are right about that. Oh, wow. You're really making this one hard on me, huh? Did Keanu Reeves ever technically become a vampire in that one movie? Let me text Danny.
Oh, the
he's in the other room.
I don't know the.
I think it's is that Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Oh God!
Yeah, I'm gonna call Danny. I'm putting him on speakerphone. He's in the other room.
Danny,
wait, why did I click on a TikTok speaker?
Message him on TikTok. You're about to talk in the next room.
Hello.
Hi, I have a question for you.
Okay.
In that one movie where Keanu Reeves was in a vampire movie, did he ever become a vampire technically, or did he remain human the whole time?
Being a vampire? Dracula?
Yeah. You know, the one where he had a bad accent?
No, he's got to kill his wife.
But he's not a vampire.
Oh,
damn. I'm trying to decide my hottest vampire.
Wait, what movie is it?
Is it just Dracula? That's what it's called?
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I was right.
Nice.
Who's the hottest vampire to you, Danny? You're live on the air.
Oh my god, first time caller. it's Wesley Snipes and Blade.
Okay, see, that's a great choice too. That's a good choice. Robin said Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows, which is also
Laszlo's pretty hot.
Yeah, Laszlo's hot. And I was trying to think, because like Tom Cruise was a vampire in Interview with the Vampire, but I'm just not sure. Fair. That was fair. And I'm not sure it's going to work for me. Who was the vampire? Man, this is hard. I don't even know.
There's a lot.
All right. Well, good luck.
Well, okay. Thanks.
Bye. I'd like to go now.
He hung up on me. Wow. That's love. I don't know. I'm going to need time to think about this. I asked the question. I did this to myself.
I know.
Fuck.
I do want... Yeah. Well, let me know once you think of it, because
I mean, because Rob Pattinson is hot. He's a hottie. Rob Pattinson from Twilight.
True. He is.
As a vampire, I'm not sure he's that hot. He's just hot in general.
In other stuff, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah, way hot, but not... Oh boy. Okay. We're moving on.
Stress you out.
I'm so stressed out. I'm sweating. Okay, so let's just talk about, while I think about it, some of the reasons that people might enjoy blood play are that blood and sex are very primal activities and things,
sure.
Some people use blood during sex, like, it has this, like, deeply personal connection to them. I'm not totally sure, like, if I even could understand or explain it, because it's probably different for every person, but there is some sort of deep personal connection to blood and the act of sex being together. Mm-hmm. Other people find the fact that they can put, like, that much trust in a partner to have a sharp object cutting their skin, that builds like a deep, meaningful connection between the two of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's that.
I see that. Yeah.
Red. It's just a nice color.
It's hot.
It's a hot color.
It really
is.
It's love.
It's lust.
Yeah.
It's passion.
Yeah.
It's desire.
Oh.
It's vampires.
It's vampires.
In stores this fall, vampire desire. It's not perfume, it's just blood, but you spray it on like
blood.
Perfume. Just wipe the blood all over you. Yeah, and it's also part of the BDSM community with the whole like idea of finding pleasure in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much it. As we've learned throughout this episode, there are kinks and fetishes for pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And they can come with a lot of internalized shame because of how society and culture treats anything outside of the established norm. Some were even once qualified as sexual disorders, which is kind of crazy.
That's fucking fucked up.
But one in three people have either they either have a fetish or they participate in one with their partner. So pretty normal.
Pretty fucking normal. One in three. Totally.
Which means there are three of us in this house right now. One of us, which one? Podcast becomes a mystery dinner party.
Who done it?
Who done it?
Weird sex stuff.
As long as they are enjoyed and not putting anyone in serious danger, if they're communicated, have continuous consent with all involved.
Yeah.
Explore those fetishes.
Yeah, why not?
Go be sexually satisfied. It's good for you. Why not?
I love that.
And Halloween can be a great way to step into it or do more of it.
I know.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Hornyween.
Ah, woo, spooky. Spooky.
And go hot. Get your costume on. Go become someone else for a night. It's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Also, that doctor from the Kinsey Institute said that psychologically, we know that putting on a costume can change behavior. For example, when people wear a mask, there's this escape from self-awareness that emerges and that and can have an effect on lowering inhibitions and opening doors to doing things you wouldn't normally do.
This is like the pandemic. Wearing we're all in costumes everywhere. Just acting out in the grocery store for sure, knocking it's shit over.
Something about my nose and mouth being covered.
No, that's true though. It's true. There's a sense of like anonymity that comes with wearing a mask and walking around being like nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on under here.
Great episode.
Happy horny week.
Yay. It's true. Everybody get horned up.
Get horned up.
And have a happy and safe Halloween.
Yes. And bang. And decide who's your sexiest vampire.
Yes. I know. I do. I am curious. Send us all those sexiest vampires.
I need to know. I want to share them with everybody. Who's the hottest vampire?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, I guess technically Kate Beckinsale.
Oh.
She was technically a vampire. She is mega hot.
Oh.
Oh, Selma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Everyone's out of the race.
There it is.
You're all gone. You're out of here.
Won it.
That's the hottest vampire.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I truly like could not pick my jaw up from the ground.
I mean,
after
my God.
That. Jesus Christ.
Good Lord.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now you're right.
Solved it. Solved it all. Done it.
What about Count Dracula?
What about Nesferatu?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Something about that lurking, it just, hello.
That was so fun.
That was
what a great way to incorporate kink stuff into Halloween. Because I've always wanted to do a kinky episode.
Yes, and honestly, there's still so much, I'm sure, that's out there.
Yes.
But I love to just
play
think of
hits.
A new, let's do it. Let's talk about, I want to know about what kind of, how can a costume change me?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not going to stop until I find it out. Well,
okay.
Misconnection time?
It's time to move into
as if this episode couldn't get hotter.
Misconnections. Misconnection time. Spooky. This is where we read misconnections we found online.
Yes.
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 Do you
want to
go
first? Okay, mine. Misconnection is entitled, I Almost Crossed the Street, Man for Woman.
Uh-oh.
I almost crossed the street, .. before you hit me with your car.
Okay. Damn it. I was just like, yours is better.
Already. One sentence in. I guess it's not exactly a missed connection.
Oh, fuck.
We're on fire tonight, even the missed connection. Coming in with the jokes. God, we're going to get canceled. Like, literally, all the platforms are just going to be like, you're off. You're off.
There's
you're
no more podcasts for
even,
anyone.
No one makes money off of this, but you're fired. Yeah. SoundCloud's just going to be like, we refuse to
hold this. No, I know you're paying us, but...
RSS feed who? You're off. Okay. I figure I don't have much else to do here in my hospital bed, so I'll write you a little note and let you know what I was doing out there alone in the middle of the intersection. Basically, I was trying to get to the other side of the street. Okay, well, fair. That's a fair reason to be out there. Then I saw you, starry-eyed, entranced with whoever you were talking to on your cell phone. Ooh. I wished it was me on the other end of that line instead of under your car.
Oh, my God.
I wish we could have met some other way, or even at all, for that matter. I don't blame you for just driving away, not noticing the unconscious speed bump that loves you. Oh, no. You're not ready for this, and I'm not sure I am either. I do know this. If you're interested, maybe we could meet up next month when I'm released, and I could help you clean some of the blood. Oh, no. Clean up some... Know where this is going now. I think I might have accidentally spurted onto your vehicle. Maybe we could get dinner or something. I'll drive. Misconnection. So cute. I hope you guys find love.
Damn, that was really good. Mine is not as good, but we're gonna do it anyway. I was trying to find a Halloween one. Most of them are just like, you were really hot on Halloween, call me. It's like, okay. So this one is called Grandpa Sweater on Halloween, Woman for Man, Tavern, Downtown. Sometimes I forget that not everyone knows me and my sense of humor. I'm so sorry that I tease you about your grandpa sweater and lack of costume. Please don't throw away your entire wardrobe. I bet your sweater is really warm. Aww. You and your friends seemed awesome. I'm putting this out there as a universal apology. Sometimes you just want to meet... Sometimes you meet people you just know you want to see again. Aww. That's sweet.
That is sweet, but even if you horribly roasted him, apparently.
I mean, that's relatable, where I would just see someone and just be ruthlessly mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, that's not cool. And I'm like, wait, but it's because I'm flirting.
Yeah, but we're both flirting with each other. Like, I'm mean to you and you're sad about it. Like,
I don't understand.
Connection. I don't see what's connection. Going wrong. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today. Yay. I hope you get costumed up and sexed up this weekend.
Absolutely.
Be safe out there. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean condoms.
Yay.
If you need them. If I don't know.
Birth control, any type.
And whatever protects you in whatever way you need. A rosary. A crucifix. Sure. You never know. We don't know what's going on out there. No. It's Halloween. And my dog's died. Okay. All right. We're getting off. We get it. You can find us on... Oh, I forgot the sources. That's okay because I didn't stop recording.
I forgot.
I haven't stopped recording.
Uh-oh.
Okay, quickly. Here we are. These are the people/websites articles that helped me on today's episode. We have history.com, The Huffington Post, HalloweenExpress.com, Live Science, Wikipedia, Westviewnews.org, Yahoo, Wikipedia again, Vice, Psychology Today, because I'm a smart bitch.
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan, because I'm not.
Gotcha.
Psych. The New York Post, Glamour, BBC, AnotherManMag.com, JessicaLexis.medium.com, Mashable, and Healthline, and Women's Health Magazine. Wow. Thanks for all the help, guys. Yay. Appreciate it. Appreciate all your insights. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're for real this time. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is @FriskyHistory. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one, anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah, so, bye! Fuck you, Terry!